The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. From the Bible, the book of James, chapter 3, verse 8.
Well, there can be no doubt, since the communists already control the Czech police, are beginning to go through that,
Speak your speech, I pray you, trippingly, on the tongue. William Shakespeare.
Represent the country in the QN. That China should be represented by Mao and his constituents in the Yuan. But how that control is to be obtained. They do not like to have to shove down their throats that the part of the price for the Russians agreeing to discuss communist aggression against Agria.
There is glory in a great mistake. Nathalia Crane.
Howdy, folks.
Yes, it is your old friend Singin' Sam. So let's just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
With a nostalgic nod toward the Atwater Kent, we now present Same Time, Same Station, a chronicle of broadcasting's first half century.
Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
Tonight, in honor of April Fool's Day, we present our second annual program devoted to those unintended indiscretions of the airwaves. Those moments when radio speech was not spoken trippingly on the tongue. These are the bloopers of radio's first half century. Our program is called, Ladies and Gentlemen, Hubert Heaver. It is named in honor of an early classic in the annals of radio fluffery. Yet, if the president is never introduced by his given name, how could it have happened? Fortunately, the man responsible for that 1930 world-famous fluff lives just a short phone call away. He now introduces us to home savings. But over 40 years ago, he introduced us to our president. Here is Harry Von Zell.
Well, I wish I could remember what age Hoover was. It had to be in 1930 that it happened. But it was on the occasion of his birthday. The network was wishing him happy birthday by putting on a full evening of all-star entertainment over radio to pay tribute to Herbert Hoover and to wish him a happy birthday. And I was the voice on the show. So I had to do about a 7-minute review of Herbert Hoover's life, in which his name was mentioned, no less than 15 or 20 times. And I was extremely nervous through it all because it was at the very beginning of my network career, really. And I was very young, and it meant a great deal to me to have such an assignment, so I was uptight. But I managed to go through the 7 minutes without error. No frogs in the throat, no slips of the tongue, no nothing. And when I came to the last line where I was to wish the president happy birthday by, you know, through this tribute, I relaxed. And when I relaxed, my tongue fell out of my mouth, and I came to his name and couldn't say it. That's all there was to it. Actually, it came out, like a wad of bubble gum. There wasn't anything coherent about it at all. But the nearest you could come to it would be, by this tribute, may we express to you our love, our admiration for you, our president, and may we bring you happiness on this your birthday. To our president, Heaver Herver.
Now that we have heard the true story of Hubert Heaver, let's proceed with our full hour of radio's classic fluffs. To the best of our knowledge, everything you will hear tonight is the original, not a recreation. And so, let's open the show.
Hello, Rexall Good program. Gary Moore speaking.
Hello, Gary. This is Jimmy.
Jimmy Durante, where are you?
I'm home taking a bath. But the door on the locked room door? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's going to be a long night tonight. Jimmy Durante, where are you?
I'm home taking a bath, but the lock on the bathroom door is broke.
Well, suppose it is. What's taking you so long?
Junior, did you ever try to take a bath leaning against the door?
Time now for the best in mystery. Good evening. This is Don Dowd, your hostess for Mystery Time.
And so the grand entrances of radio sometimes fell on their respective faces. When no recordings were allowed on the networks, the entire program was a one-take affair. And problems did develop while the mics were hot.
Our kitchen counselor, Charlotte Adams, has been tramping around the convention again. And this time it's the National Association of Packers and Distributors of Frozen Foods, which is holding a powwow.
Charlotte, you have something to tell us about congealed condiments?
That's a disagreeable-sounding arrangement.
Certainly does.
I have something to tell you about some quite nice things, I think. I am going to a luncheon of the Frozen Food Packers today, where there's going to be...
Frozen Food what? Packers.
Hi, thank you.
Peter Piper, Peter Piper.
Yes, before tape recording, it was a one-shot. After Ampex, an actor could retrace his steps, repeat a sentence or phrase correctly, and be assured that the final, edited product would be word-perfect, if the director remembered to have the tape scissored. Listen to Lloyd Nolan, long before his role as Dr. Chegley.
Yes?
Mr. Winston's on the phone, Mr. Vickers.
Put him on. Hello, Frank. Yes, what? But we've told them we can't do that. We can't force a well to pump more than the normal amount of oil. We can't force a well to point... Hello, Frank? Yes. What? But we've told them that we can't do that. We can't force a well to pump more than the normal amount of... Hello, Frank? Yes. What? But we've told them that we can't do that. We can't force a well to pump more than the normal amount of oil. We'll kill it if we do.
Say, June, do you remember when we met during the war in Sydney?
Oh, yes. You were flying over to entertain the troops, and your plane had that accident.
Yes, it sure did, right outside of Lorry's in there. Well, I've never told this before, June, but that wasn't an accident. We were shot down.
You mean the Japanese found out you were coming over to entertain?
No, the Americans. It was my own fault, though. I stuck my head out of the window as we came in at the airport, and they thought it was a flying snorkel.
I bet you were frightfully upset.
Not old Rob. Not me. I just cooked my... cocked my... cocked my pinky. Say before. You mean... Oh, I'd like to get a fresh start in the whole day. Not miserable? Where are we now?
Not old Rob.
Don't help me. I'll make it. I wasn't upset at all. Not old Rob.
And while the grown-ups' tongues fluttered aimlessly inside fluff-prone heads... Out of the mouth of babes came letter-perfect answers to our every question, but some of those answers just weren't what we expected.
Do you have a pet?
Yes, I've got three fish and a dog.
Does the dog have a pedigree?
No, we spayed her.
Yes, sir. What's your name, young fella?
Gary Lee Pink.
And how old are you, Gary?
Six.
What animal would you like to be?
An octopus.
Oh, not a squid. He wants to be a squid and you want to be a... Why do you want to be an octopus?
So I can get all the children and spike them with my testicles.
Your tentacles, you grab all... Your tentacles, you grab all the children and... That's fine. Now... What does your father do? What does your daddy do for a living?
Bowling, and he goes fishing.
Yeah.
And he goes playing baseball.
Oh, that's fine. How'd they meet, do you know?
I didn't meet because I was a baby.
Oh, you don't know how they met? Oh, I see. Now, I think I'll move on. What's your name?
Julia Caroline O'Neill.
How old are you, Julia?
5 1/2.
I understand that you were born in Texas.
Yes.
How'd you like that?
Fine.
What's the good about being born in Texas?
There are lots of bulls and buffaloes.
Oh, and that's good, huh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, what animal would you be?
A skunk.
You know what they do?
Yes.
They stink something awful, don't they?
Yes.
You want to do that?
Yes.
Why do you want to do that?
Because I want to make you stink.
Well, after that last interview, I don't feel so good. Well, we might as well sign this whole thing off. I'm done. You're such a pretty little girl to want to be a skunk. I can't imagine that. How did your parents meet? Did they ever tell you?
I don't remember.
Thank you very much.
Very cute. Right. Now, look at those crazy blue corduroys this next fella's wearing here. And what's your name?
Joel Levine.
Joel Levine? What do you dream about?
When in the movies.
What do you do? What do you dream about when you're in the movies?
Porky Pig.
You mean you dream you're a friend of Porky Pigs?
Yeah, I'm a friend of Porky. I'm a Porky Pig fan.
If you were real hungry in the jungle somewhere, you wouldn't eat Porky Pig, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Why not?
He's not kosher, and I wouldn't eat my...
He didn't want to eat his friend either.
What's your name, little girl?
Barbara Louise Cass.
And how old are you, Barbara?
6 3/4.
Oh, my goodness. 6 3/4. You have it right down to a nickel. Teacher tells me that on the way here in the big limousine, you're talking about operations. Now, you're too young a girl to have operations. That's what old ladies talk about. Is that right? How many have you had?
I don't know how many I have had.
Well, what are some of them, for instance?
Run my tonsils out, my adenoids out. I was circumcised. I had a mole burned off my
lung.
Where were you? What does your daddy do for a living?
The engineer.
Your daddy's a what?
Engineer.
An engineer. And what does your mother do?
Well,
you've lived richly. There's no doubt about that. What are you going to be when you grow up?
A singer.
A singer. Are your parents here in the audience today?
One of them.
Just wondered who that was that went up through the ceiling. Probably in Glendale by now. Come on, young fella. I don't see anything very funny, do you?
No.
Dad, you're a country boy, they tell me.
Yes.
I understand that just a couple of minutes ago, before you came on stage, they offered you some of our pasteurized milk here, and you didn't like that city milk.
No.
You wouldn't drink it. Why not?
Because I'm used to our own cow's milk.
Oh, you will drink it right from the cow or not at all?
Yes.
You don't want any middleman in there. Do you do any of the cow milking yourself?
Yes, my mother was teaching me a long time ago.
Well, what's the main thing to remember in learning how to milk a cow?
Well, not to pull her tits down too far.
Politicians, a fertile field for verbal fluffs. First, see if you agree with this man's stand on the withholding tax issue.
I believe that the advantages, as opposed to the disadvantages, as regards to the withholding tax, there's no comparison. I believe that we should be against the withholding tax. I'm for it, and I will do what I can to function as a advocate of this philosophy.
Here is a message from Ambassador Adlai Stevenson.
Protest demonstrations have taken place by workers whose trade union rights have been betrayed, by Catholics whose freedom of expression has been circumscribed, by a professional man. Well, I believe it at least is a Christian right.
Senator Estes Kefauver, hero of the Senate crime investigations of the 50s, receives an award. Actress Jinx Falkenberg pays him tribute. An inside note. Remember that Rudolph Halley was counsel for the Senate Crime Investigating Committee.
I know that I was asked to accept this award for Senator Kefauver as a housewife, because I think that that's what Senator Kefauver did more than anything else in bringing the Senate Crime Investigating Committee into the home, into the kitchen, and giving us all an idea of what was happening right here in New York City. And I know that luckily I was sick the first day of the hearings, so I spent 3 days in bed enjoying Rudy Halley. I must say, I got to know his every move so very well. No. Wait a minute. But no, what I meant to say is that I missed. I really, you know what I mean.
Just as children can startle their interviewers on the air, so can their elders on panel discussion programs. Meet the Press. That stalwart standard of Sunday opinion was not immune.
In a reply, Mr. Minister, a few moments ago to another question, you said that the Jews enjoy liberties in the Soviet Union. Would you permit Yiddish theaters to exist, the press to exist, literature to exist, would you permit that to exist, sir?
In my country, all peoples enjoy freedom from the development of culture, and that includes the Jews. I have many friends who are Jews. Many of our most prominent leaders, in fact, have married Jewish girls, and they have excellent relations. I would say that let others have relations that are as good.
And remote broadcasts offered multitudinous chances for glory and great mistakes. For here, the remote and the studio crews often operate blind with only a set of standard cues which act as verbal triggers for human action. Let the wrong word slip or a tense ear believe to hear, and we could suddenly have a new national anthem.
Ladies and gentlemen, the vocalist and organist is Gladys Gooding, and now our national anthem.
Look sharp and take time and go to feel sharp.
On the ball, hey, hey!
Just be sharp. You select, get help to those easy shapes. Young man, we'll stay.
Now it's time for the Hollywood School of Drama program being broadcast direct from the Hollywood School of Drama. And here they are.
What are we talking about?
And here is the Hollywood School of Drama.
Hey, set.
What did I say? Was five slow or five fast?
I don't think the boys down at the Hollywood School of Drama realize that they're on the air, so I just don't know what to do here. The Hollywood School of Drama is supposed to be broadcast at 9 o'clock, and we'll go back to them now to see if they catch our cue. Presenting the Hollywood School of Drama. Presenting the Hollywood School of Drama. Closing centers serving Greater Los Angeles. One in San Gabriel on Valley Boulevard, west of San Gabriel Boulevard. Another in Pomona on Holt Avenue at Central Avenue. Open every night till 9 p.m. Plenty of free parking.
It's Career Theater.
Dan O'Hurley and Charles Davis, directors of the West, two outstanding schools of theater, radio, and television, take you to Studio B in the live presentation of tonight's Career Theater.
Have you ever said to yourself, I have the talent to become an actor?
Or have you thought I'd like to become a newscaster or a disc jockey?
Maybe you felt that you'd like to be a narrator, commentator, dialectician, or a commercial copywriter.
If you have a sincere desire to enter any of the mentioned fields, Mr. O'Hurley and Mr. Davis are ready to prepare you to succeed in these highly competitive but lucrative occupations.
More about the schools later in the program, but now the first act of tonight's Career Theater play, Murder at the Microphone.
Perhaps the remote broadcast featuring total chaos occurred on Wednesday night, March the 17th, 1948. The Seal Test Hour cast, starring Dorothy L'Amour, had moved from its regular studio in Hollywood to Houston, there to broadcast a special program on the opening night of the new Shamrock Hotel. Now, network remotes usually feature two telephone program lines. The backup line is outfitted with a private telephone so that engineers at the remote site may check with the network's master control. But on March 17th, 1948, the two wires got switched. To make matters worse, the private telephone had been left lying on a table in front of a small monitor speaker. When the network's master control switched their Houston remote on the air, this was the result.
With me, you know, let's get it right there.
Frantically, network engineers tried to call the remote engineer by regular long distance, since their private phone was dead.
Oh, I can't hear you. I'm sorry, he cannot answer the phone. I will take it, operator.
And now here's a special
treat
for my special attendant.
All right,
to Henry Russell and
Don Clark. I know this right here. Right here, right up in that control room. Got a couple up there.
One moment, please.
After a long and deadly pause, the lines were cleared. But clearing the lines didn't clear the head of a featured guest on the ill-fated program.
Not as well as you would naturally expect. You see, we got this catcher, this Gorilla Hogan, a natural-born catcher.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard one of these radio guys. Yeah, you might as well read it that way. Nothing's gonna get anything anyhow. And a big crowd is here tonight at Santa Anita.
Yeah, but
they're
don't
going
forget,
to fourth
Archie,
place now.
Archie, there's a bigger crowd listening on the air. Come on.
Oh, well, now, Dal, let's say, oh, going, why don't you sing? Come on, I'll whistle a little number. I hear a little number in France this summer.
And as a final shot, the program ran overtime.
Tonight's newscast variety theater was written by Howard Harris and Sidney Zelenka. Mr. Quimby was played by Stan Early. The direction is by Glenn Halstead. Tune in again next Thursday at the same time when Seal Test again presents Seal Test Variety Theater, starring Dorothy L'Amour and, as our guests, David Niven and Alan Young. Seal Test Incorporated and Associate Company.
You are listening to Same Time, Same Station. And this is our second annual tribute to the Radio Blooper in honor of April Fool's Day. We will continue after our network cue and station identification.
This is the Mutual Darnley Broadcast.
This is WCBM, AM, and FS. No. We come now to the musical portion of our program featuring Bing Crosby and Rudy Valli. We must admit that Bing's song never did get on the air. It's from a recording session, and bootleg copies have become legendary.
When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Until that sunshine keeps through, there's only one thing to do. Just wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away. Castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, just smile as they fall. Weren't you keen for a day? Just remember the sunshine always follows the rain. Wrap your troubles in dreams. Dream your troubles away. Whistle and dream your cares away. Castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. Sang the wrong melody, we'll play it back. See what it sounds like, hey, hey. They cut out 8 bars, the dirty b-. And I didn't know which 8 bars he was gonna cut. Why don't somebody tell me these things around here? I'm going off my nut.
There is a tavern in the town.
In the town.
And there my true love sits him down.
Sits him down.
And drinks his wine as merry as can be. And never, never thinks of me. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. Oh, the time has come for you and I to say goodbye, adieu. Adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
Oh, I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well. He left me for a damsel dark.
Damsel dark.
Each Friday night they used to spark.
Used to spark.
And now my love, who once was true to me, takes that dark damsel on his knee. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. Oh, the time is come for you and I to say goodbye. Adieu, adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
Oh, I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
Oh, I'll hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well. And now I see him nevermore.
Nevermore.
He never, never knocks upon my door.
On my door.
Oh, 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 is me. He penned a little note. I'll read to you the words. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let parting be all the time. And me to say goodbye. I'll call adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
Oh, I can't no longer stay with you. I hang my heart on a weeping willow tree. Fare thee well.
Fare thee well.
Oh, dear. My grave both wide and deep.
Wide and deep.
Put tombstones at my head and feet.
My head and feet.
And on my breast, just carve a turtle dove to sing if I die. Fare thee well, for I must leave thee. Do not let the parting grieve thee. Oh, the time has come for you and I to say goodbye. Adieu, kind friends, adieu.
Yes, adieu.
I can no longer stay with you.
Stay with you.
Oh, oh, I'll hang my heart on a weeping lily. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well.
When a newsman goofs, it may not be news, but it is often very funny. Perhaps we expect our newscasters to be just a bit superhuman in their vocal delivery as they bring us the facts of today's world. Our program of bloopers now looks at the news, again through the recordings that we believe to be original, true, and accurate.
The Russians attempting to avenge the death of Michael Mayer seem to have scored a big hit.
NBC Radio, news on the hour. Now here is...
The news in brief, arsonists attempting eventually to avenge the assassination of Negro extremist Malcolm X, hit headquarters of Muslim headquarters at opposite ends of the country today. The Harlem headquarters were destroyed, as was a mosque in San Francisco on the West Coast.
And now, back to the news.
One of America's best-known political and diplomatic figures, John Winant, died tonight by his own hand at his home in Concord, New Hampshire. Dr. Clarence Butterfield said that the 58-year-old former governor of New Hampshire and the former ambassador to Britain committed suicide by shooting himself in the head with a large 60-cent-sized package of Alka-Seltzer.
Let's take a look at the Kentucky Derby, where the steadily improving Tim Tam and the sensational stretch-running Silky Sullivan were quoted as co-favorites at 2-5 today, as the second-richest Kentucky Derby in history loomed with 19 finely tuned three-year-old fellas listed as probable starters.
The ladies and gentlemen of the Arrangements Committee are fervently hopeful that there will be no repetition of the untoward incidents which marred some of the earlier day inauguration jamborees, even with four balls, a space is a big...
Here is Herb Kaplow, NBC News.
Now, if you'd call me at 2 p.m., what did you want back then?
Herb Kaplow!
Stay
on
my,
Federal Mediation Director Joseph Finnegan announced this afternoon he'll summon Steel Union and management officials to a series of mediation conferences starting next week, probably Tuesday.
Dispatches from Prague this morning report that the communist premier of Czechoslovakia, Klement Gottwald, told a meeting called last night to form a communist action committee that a quick communist victory was certain now, and he's quoted as saying it may be in several hours, but it will certainly be in several days. Well, there can be no doubt, since the communists already control the Czech police and are beginning to go through that,
Christian Herter of the United States, Andrei Gromyko of the Soviet Union, Selwyn Lloyd of Britain, and Maurice Cabu de Mourville of France.
You have the pleasure of feeling good because you've done something good. You'll go to bed happy tonight because you'll know that some child, a child who almost always goes to bed hungry, will be well-fed very soon.
You know the den mothers of Scub Cout. Nevertheless, this is true. At harness tracks, they prevent the appearance of so-called ringers by checking the chestnuts of the entrance. Chestnuts are the slatish gray wart-like formations on the insides of the knees on all four legs of a horse. Now, they're never the same on any two animals.
Nelson Fox, the Chicago White Sox fiery little second baseman.
Of course, the story is well known now. Oklahoma wanted Oklahoma wanted to get McClellan in there, of course, as a football star. Baylor asked that they write a letter saying that they had not tampered with the athlete McClellan.
The electronic experiments in the Danger Islands will observe ionizing sources on the sun, and the resultant ionization
wrapped itself around the fire nose hosel.
In Washington, General Bradley's speech today was one of several interesting news developments dealing with our military defenses. Here's a summary by Gunner Back. We seem to be unable to contact Washington at this time. Let's try once again. Our cue to Washington is, here is a summary by Gunner Back. Sorry, we seem to be unable, for some inexplicable reason, to contact correspondent Gunner Back in Washington. Now then, to the nation's sports fans, the biggest news in quite a while is building tonight in Chicago, where world heavyweight champion Rocky Marciano is about to meet that challenge from ex-champ Jersey Joe Walcott. We sent correspondent Tom Casey to the weighing-in ceremonies today, and he recorded this report at that dramatic scene. Well, Mother told me there would be days like this. Shall we try once again for Chicago? Suppose we come back to you in just a moment or two. On this cue, I'll be back in a minute with more news.
Headline Edition is one of over 60 top ABC news shows brought to you each week by a distinguished staff of reporters, analysts, and commentators. ABC specializes in swift, accurate, and complete reporting of the latest happenings here and abroad. That kind of news coverage doesn't just happen. A trained newsman fills in the coloring that... A trained newsman fills in the coloring that brings the event to life, but it takes an experienced correspondent to know how that event fits the overall news pattern.
The aphid feeding Bailey's foliage will, in turn, provide plenty of food for the ladybugs, and Bailey figures it won't be long before he will have aphidless less anchorage. Shh. Won't be long. And Bailey figures it won't be too long before he will have aphidless anchorage.
After singles by Kaline and Gail Harris and a walk loaded the bases in the sixth, runs scored when Ford fumbled Larry Holders and rolling in food sacrifice fly to Mickey Mantle.
thanks to Thomas Patton, president of Republic Steel Corporation, who's spokesman for the 12 steel companies now negotiating, and the members of the panel for stimulating and enlightening half hour.
Countries like Norway, which, for example, who think that sooner or later the Beijing regime, which controls continually all of the China, should represent the country in the QN, that China should be represented by Mao and his constituents in the Yuan, but how that control is to be obtained. They do not like to have to shove down their throats that the part of the price for the Russians agreeing to discuss communist aggression against Agria.
Well, one of the new products on display recently at the Atom Fair in Cleveland. Let's start all over again.
Imagine, the hatch of a great rocket ship swings open. A man steps out.
Slick has a 1950 model horn for ordinary purposes, but for a laugh or a lifted eyebrow, he has a squawking 1926 type horn under the hood.
Scientists say a successful orbit of the moon is unlikely in this pioneering attempt. This is Frank, Frank Blair, NBC News.
What does Super Anahist cough syrup do for you that no other type syrup can do?
In the windy city of Chicago.
The president did later pose for pictures with Iowa Republican candidates, but did not plug them publicly.
It will see an educational system, said Hutchins, that delivers less education per dollar than almost any other, saying that all it needs is more money. No comment in there.
In British Columbia, actor Errol Flynn died at Vancouver Hospital tonight after being brought there by an emergency squad. Flynn fit to perfection the popular concept of a movie star until the last few years when he grew punchy. Rather punchy.
The president has more or less confined himself to statements that it is... to statements that it is his...
The doctor told of a case of a buck-toothed boy who wore his bad teeth like a chip on his shoulder. His friends kidded him, and he couldn't take it. Soon he was a full-blown delinquent. A social worker sent him to...
Three U.S. airmen were killed when a B-47 jet bomber crashed into the Santa Rita Mountains near Tucson, Arizona. The big plane crashed into a bridge high up in the mountains. It disintegrated into a ball of fire. There were no survivors. Please excuse me.
And down in Delaware, in the senatorial race, Williams, the Republican, is leading Democrat Carvel by about 1,000 votes. And where did we go from there?
A program for air photographic mapping of 400,000 square kilometers in central Brazil.
Winston Churchill has celebrated his 84th birthday. He ate a 30-pound birthday cake along with his children and his grandchildren.
And finally, the network commentators and their announcers. You will hear sudden changes in audio quality during two of the following recordings, for we obtained parts of the same broadcast from different sources. They are still the authentic and original bloopers, heard coast to coast during radio's first half century. In order, Julian Anthony, Pauline Frederick and her announcer, Paul Harvey and his announcer, Lowell Thomas thrice, and finally, Walter Cronkite.
In the wonder world of science, uranium has been discovered a few hundred yards from the White House and nearly 300 feet up. It's in the granite of the Washington Monument, but not valuable or dangerous. Back here in New York, the Hayden Planetarium has heard from a Minnesota man who claims that the shape of Aurora Borealis, the northern lights, can be changed by flapping a bedsheet at them from the ground. The planetarium doubts it, but the man says he did successfully flap sheets in his backyard one midnight, though his wife kept hollering at him to cut out the foolishness and get back in the house. Now here are today's closing Dow Jones stock averages. Industrials off 14 cents, rails up
3 cents, utilities up 7 cents. And that's today's Headline Edition. Tune in tomorrow at this same time for Headline Edition. You'll hear important reports of the names who made the news and vivid on... This Sunday evening, be sure and hear Drew Pearson on ABC. Pearson has received many awards for his work, and one of his treasures is the Saturday Review of Literature site. This is ABC.
As for the intentions of Governor Stevenson, the governor announced in Springfield, Illinois, that he's a candidate for governor and nothing else. As the president said yesterday, politics as a game beats football, baseball, basketball, and any other sport. And now I'm off to Providence, Rhode Island, to participate in a forum on that highly debatable subject, Are We Winning Friends for America Abroad? And so until this time Monday, this is Pauline Frederick, hoping that your weekend, too, will be a very stimulating one.
Lone Journey, heard every weekday morning on ABC, unveils the heartbreak of three lonely people. It's a lone journey for Sidney McKenzie because she's married to Lansing and in love with Wolf. Will Sidney regret her decision to stick by her husband at all costs? She and Lansing have been marooned in Wolf's ranch house by a raging snowstorm. Sidney has pneumonia, Lansing a broken arm. Both need care, care that Wolf is willing to give, but which Lansing resents because of his seething jealousy of the man who was once married to his wife. But Lansing's jealousy has jumped the bounds of common sense. He struck Wolf in an unreasonable rage. He tried to burn the penicillin intended for Sidney because Wolf was going to administer it. In striking out at Wolf, will Lansing destroy what he's trying so desperately to keep, Sidney's love? Hear Lone Journey over ABC today. Pauline Frederick is heard Monday at this time. This program came from New York. This is the American Broadcasting Company.
Reports on the lady who was shopping for a frilly nightgown as a birthday present for her pet poodle. They didn't have any, but the store clerk said, if you'll measure the dog, we'll have one made. And the lady said, oh, I couldn't do that. I want it to be a surprise. Page 2.
One of the most spectacular kinds of automobile accidents is the one in which a car not only gets banged up, but burst into flames. What makes it really horrible is the idea that a driver and his passengers, stunned by the accident, may be trapped inside the burning car. The National Safety Council says that, fortunately for most of us, this type of spectacular smash-up is very rare. Only one driver... Good night, Mother. The thing that stuns people inside a car... Time now, once again, for Paul Harvey News.
And what more can I say than Paul Harvey? Good day.
The chief personality was our minister to Luxembourg, Mrs. Pearl Mesta, who, of course, is the nation's number one party giver and certainly knows how to run off in a fair and smooth style. But this time, everything went haywire. The ceremony was the American Legion presentation of a flag of Luxembourg for Madame Mesta to take back with her. But Herbert Jacobi, national vice commander of the American Legion, was 30 minutes late. He had to appear in court. So Mrs. Mesta left. And when the vice commander did arrive, she kept him waiting for 15 minutes. Oh, just had to fix my hair, she explained. Then the banner was unpacked, and Mrs. Mester cried, that isn't the flag of Luxembourg, that's the flag of Schleswig-Unterweiser, and so on. Said Commander Jacobi, it must be, because the American Legion could not be wrong. To break the deadlock, an official from the Luxembourg legation was summoned, and he said the disputed flag was okay. Madam Minister Pearl Mester was just a bit mixed up. So the ceremony started all over again, only to be halted. This time, the film and the newsreel camera got tangled. Then the newsreel sound recording went out of gear. Finally, the speech making got going. Well, the vice commander started out. He said, Madam President, no grown official from the State Department. You mean Madam Minister. The blunder was corrected, and Mrs. Mester responded by saying that she'd deliver the flag to what she called our defense minister and prime minister. That drew another cry of anguish from the State Department. Not proper for an American diplomat to call a foreign official our defense minister. She tried it again, and this time said, the defense minister, who is also our prime minister. Once again, that fatal pronoun, our, and the echo was ouch. At long length, the ceremony was completed correctly. The flag of Luxembourg is on its way. And long may it wave.
And the little girl deserves to know her mother. So says Alice, and I think her mother deserves to know her.
Well, Alice, all I was thinking about her husband. Phil Harris, the band leader. She explains that working so hard all day in the film studio, she is sometimes not in such perfectly good humor. She snaps about me. Which is all wrong. To which I say, you're all for us. I'll leave the rest of it to you.
Well, tomorrow's the 1st of May. That means that summertime is rushing toward us. And when hot weather gets here, it puts an added responsibility on the oil that's in your motor. For then the oil must do three things. It must help keep your motor clean, must keep it well lubricated, and must help carry off excess heat. And for years, Sunoco Oil has been doing all three of these things. Now Lowell Thomas says,
so long until tomorrow.
This program came to you from New York.
The president driving into Hershey, Pennsylvania to celebrate his 63rd birthday. 30,000 or more people were cheering him. All the folks who make Hershey chocolate with and without nuts. Fred Waring was on hand to conduct a chorus of 1,800. Ben Hogan to give an exhibition on how he drives a golf ball. And that was especially to our shopping president. A demonstration like that famous Ben Hogan power golf.
Well, Lowell, I won't putter around with that one.
And now, Lowell, have you a few more unforgettable words?
About a new book called Diet or Die. Author, Mrs. Celeste Geyer, perhaps better known to millions of carnival fans as the one-time Dolly Dimples. Remember, the world's most beautiful fat lady? That was the billing Mrs. Geyer used when she weighed 555 pounds. Count them, 555 pounds. Now a svelte 122. She tells in her book how she did it, following the advice of a doctor who told her after a near-fatal heart attack to diet or die. The secret of effective weight loss, massive willpower, says Mrs. Geyer, adding that her own willpower was strengthened by the memory. Well, anyhow, she said that her fat friends from carnival life died at an early age, later buried from the back of a truck. Those her own words. Why truck? Because, said Mrs. Geyer, they were too big for a hearse.
So long until Monday, Lowell. This is Warren Moran now reminding you to listen each evening, Monday through Friday at this same time, for the distinctive news reports of Lowell Thomas. Listen again Monday evening for Lowell Thomas and the news.
And so for Pepto-Bismol and Sunday News Special, this is Walter Cronkite saying good night.
Now, to continue our program, we take pride in presenting our first annual Prodigal Tongue Award, given with understanding and empathy to a radio personality who, in our opinion, has most fully explored the potential of the radio blooper. The name of our recipient has been withheld pending our flight to South America immediately after this broadcast. Here is the award of the 1973 Prodigal Tongue.
Now, here are the sports scores as we have them. The Northwest Commercial, or rather, we'll start up at the top. In the Moose Jaw District League, St. Mary's 7, RCAF 3. St. Mary and RCAF, that's the 2-0 now games for St. Mary. The Moose Jaw Little League, the Cubs 13, the Pirates 6, the Colts 5, and the Red Legs no score. The Cardinals 15, the Dodgers 11, Athletics 15, Twins 2, and or 11 rather. Well, in the Western Conference, Edmonton Eskimos edged the Grey Cup champion Winnipeg Blue Bombers 20-16, and the British Columbia Lions bombed the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 33-7. At Winnipeg, the Blue Bombers had the margin of play statistically, but in 14 points performance by Tommy Coffey powered the Eskimos to the victory. The Bombers got touchdowns from Jerry James, that's a hard word to say in a hurry, and Farrell Funston, while James kicked 2 converts and a fullback, Charlie Shepard, a pair of singles. If you drop in at Patterson Motors used car lot in the middle of our 600 block west, west on Main Street today or any other day, if you are in the market for a used car, you'll have to agree that we have a real bunch of bargain buys on our lot. One thing, you don't need any pay to excuse me. You don't need any X-ray to find the value of a Goodwill card. Today we are putting the spotlight on a Corvair 1960 sedan with a 1960 radio, undercoated, miners, mirrors, a gold paint job, and after you drive it, you'll say, no fooling, it's a dandy. And now for Patterson Motors, may we shade you until tomorrow morning at this very same time. So long, and thanks for listening.
I feel you near. Once more, you're my love of yesteryear.
Be with us next week for another nostalgic look at radio of yesteryear.
Now it's just about time we were picking up our members and moving along our way. I hope you've enjoyed listening to these songs and the memories that go with them, as much as I've enjoyed bringing them to you.
Same Time, Same Station is produced for KRLA News and Public Affairs by John Price, special research by Martin Halperin and many other collectors of radio bloopers, and I'm Bill Browning. If you, as a broadcaster, found your unintended indiscretions of the airwaves on tonight's show, remember that to err is human, to forgive, divine. So please forgive us as we laughed with you. And remember that we all will have our day as long as live mics can be heard by listeners' ears. Next week, an entirely different program spotlighting an uncommon man who was an uncommon president of the United States. Next week at 10, the Truman Years.
I know you won't want to miss it, so be sure to be with us next week at this same time, same station.